Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Detaching the ones who keep acting attached, it's a leech. I am no pastor, but actually preaching. Look up these lyrics and actually reach. That was where it all began. Had to put in work every day, we got it in. We chased all our dreams and now they can't believe it. We make it look easy.
What's going on, everybody? It's your main man here, Big Smitty, aka D Nice, and this is The Porch. Welcome. We are back at it again with another exciting episode. I know we missed last week. We had some things to take care of, but we are back. One half of The Porch right now because our co-host, Bolo, was feeling a little under the weather. So make sure y'all throw your prayers up for him. But he should be back next week on and popping. But we have a very special guest today that I cannot wait to dive into and learn more about her. But before I introduce her for all our audio listeners, I got to pay some bills first. So shout out to Bet Online for all your sports gambler fans on here. You know, NBA season obviously just ended. NFL season's right around the corner. But right now we got baseball still popping. Hockey just ended. But listen, for all the sports gambling fans, if you want to place your wager on anything sports related, betonline.ag is the place to be. Use the promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to get a 50% plus welcome bonus. But like I said, y'all, we're not here for all of that. We are here for our special guest. And this woman is someone with many skills. She isn't just a hustler. She herself is literally a business, helping others grow in many different ways, from marketing to branding to health and wellness. She's living out on the West Coast now, but never loses sight of our hometown of Detroit, Michigan. The one and only Alexis Wilson. Welcome to The Porch.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
So excited to have you on. Before we even dive in, how has life been treating you? How are you doing? We'll let us hear how your life has been going.
I mean, life is wonderful. I'm good to life. Life is good to me. I have breath in my body. So that's the thing that grounds me every day when entrepreneurship is beating my butt. But it's good overall. My family is in good health. I'm learning and growing. I'm in love with who I am constantly becoming and having to become on this journey. So life is good. Life is good.
I love to hear that. One thing you mentioned, you said, you know, you still got air, you know, in your body, in your lungs. And I think right there, just stopping right there alone, that's a blessing in itself. You know what I'm saying? To think sometimes we take for granted just waking up. You know, I think we just assume we're going to wake up. So I think the fact that you are grounded and understanding that and acknowledging that is a huge thing for us all to kind of, you know, take for our own selves as well. One thing that we always ask our guests when we start off our podcast is a question that sounds simple, but in reality is kind of deep. So I want to ask you this. Who is Alexis Wilson?
Who is Alexis Wilson? Yeah. Well, Alexis Wilson is this human being this human vessel that my spirit wanted to use to come fulfill the purpose of helping to exalt others. First starting with myself, then my clients and my community, and long-term vision is the world at large. She is God's child who is out here just trying to live life to the fullest and be in purpose.
Love it. Love it. That might be one of my top five best answers. Ooh. I think we've had on The Porch. It's up there. I had to go back and listen, but just off the top of the head, man, that's one of those really great answers, you know, that I love, man. You mentioned the term exalt, which I think was a perfect segue Right. So what we're going into next, obviously, you know, during your intro, I mentioned that you are literally a business. That's how I view you, just looking at your background and studying and learning more about you. And speaking of the business route, Exalt is one of your many businesses. Kind of talk more to the Porch fans and family about exactly what Exalt is.
Yeah, so Exalt is my talent and marketing agency. I started it back in 2019. And when I started it, I knew that I was going to obviously be doing marketing, obviously be working with talent, but I saw a gap in the market and that there was not an agency that catered to the humanity of the people that they were actually working with. And just based off of my personality, my hobbies, my interests, the things that deeply, deeply moved me, though I was 100% turned up about marketing and branding, it was people and caring for people. And I found myself, I mean, from a young age, always talking to people about purpose, you know, talking to them about what they really wanted to do in life, their passions. I'm such a passion girl, and just wanted to support people in getting from point A to point B, helping them to achieve whatever it is that they set out to achieve. And I was just such a personal development and philosophy junkie. And this agency essentially gave me the opportunity to combine both of those worlds, that marketing and the branding and all that good stuff. And then also my love for personal development, and which eventually went on to like metacognition and metaphysics and quantum physics and all the things, so that these people that are navigating spotlight and doing these big, great things can not only obtain high levels of success, but also could maintain them. So that's what Exalt Management does through marketing and talent representation. And then of course, mindset coaching.
I love that, man. I love it. It seems like everything you're doing, I know we're going to dive into some more things as well, but everything is connected back to giving and helping grow in some fathom, whether, like you said, whether it's on the marketing side, personal development. It's like you said, whatever you're doing, whatever area of life you're focusing on, it's always connected to giving back in some way. And you mentioned that you've always had a connection to people, even when you were a young age. Like, what does that stem from? Is it from your parents? Is it from just kind of innately in you, or what?
Yeah, it's from my parents, and it's also from my grandparents. My grandmother, my dad's mom, one of the most giving people, almost to a fault. She was just such a light, you know. Everybody called her Nana, whether they were her grandbabies or not, they became her grandbabies. And then my grandparents on my mother's side, they're actually pastors, and just a long, rich history of going beyond, like, you know, pastoring a community to like starting like soup kitchens and doing marches for justice and all types of things. So I've just seen it all the time. And then my parents, we've had a family nonprofit, and I think maybe I was six when that started, or maybe five. So that's literally all I've seen of just giving back to the community. Their nonprofit is called The Union. It's back home in Detroit, and they serve at-risk youth and also families. So it's just innate. It's just like when that's what you grow up seeing, it just feels like it's a part of who I am. And I think that that's probably a huge, huge influence on why I naturally feel this inclination to try and give back or try and help and try and make something better or leave someone better than I found it.
And that's beautiful. And I, you know, one thing that I'm like thinking about as I listen to you share that is the importance of just family, you know what I'm saying? And just having that strong ecosystem. And it sounds like, you know, you're blessed to just have that, you know what I'm saying? To have both your parents who are, you know, who have raised you right, to think about the right things, to put the right environment around you, to make you even think in the mindset that you are. I feel like you are just like light years even ahead of the average person around your age group in terms of your mindset and how you think and just the things you've done already. Again, just doing my research, like, wow, like she doesn't accomplish more than most 50, 60-year-olds on this planet. And I say that, like, it's just impressive. It's inspiring to see that, you know, even myself, I'm like, okay, like, let me step my game up a little bit more, because there's people out here who are actually doing things at a high level and truly having impact.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem. Going back to Exalt. Now, I saw you posted a video probably, it might have been a couple months now, of it was, I think it was a new AI called Exalt GPT. And that was actually, it's funny how I came across your page. I got a good friend of mine. Shout out to my brother, Julian, Jujack, as we call him. He had sent me over this, the video you explaining, you know, what this is. I work obviously in the content space, marketing space, things like that. So he thought I might have, you know, found it interesting. So explain exactly what is Exalt GPT? Because I think it sounds dope to me.
Exalt GPT is a AI that I built via ChatGPT that would essentially serve as like a virtual talent manager and industry guy. The reason I made it was because I get reached out to about management like weekly. And it is just not, as much as I want to help everybody, it's just not possible, especially as we've continued to grow as a business. And I understand that a lot of times when artists are really pursuing their passion within the music industry, unless they have a record deal or a distribution or a publishing deal, they're not really making a good amount of money because of how the music business is set up. You're not making a ton off of streaming. So if you're not having deals, you know, through endorsements or deals through like a publishing or a record label, it's hard. And I want to be able to service those people, but I can't service everybody. And, you know, some people just don't have the funds to be able to, you know, work and pull people on their team, or they're not even at the point in which they really need a manager. And they just think that they do. So it's like, okay, well, what resource could I make for them? And also even people that do have management that would be free and that would also really, really help. So that AI, you could literally get on and you could talk to it like verbally and say, hey, I need a rollout plan, but I literally don't know where to start. It's just me. Could you give me a plan that is feasible for me to do and help me map out the timeline? And it will kick you back what you need to do. I've also trained it to ask questions so that it can obtain the right information it needs to spit back things that will actually be helpful. It can help you come up with social content. It also is trained on our philosophy of like mindset being key. And so you could go to it and say, hey, I'm feeling really discouraged because I only made $300 from streaming this month and I want to be able to keep going, but I don't know what to do. And it would be able to ask you more questions and talk you through it, just to give you that, you know, mental support in the process too. So we kind of wanted it to be an extension of Exalt in a way where it's like, okay, look, I can't be right there to help you. No one on my team can be physically in person, but we do have Exalt GPT that we're training and continuing to train over time so that it gets smarter and can continue to give really good results.
Man, that is fire, man. Shout out to you. I'm going to add my hand clapping sound effect when we do the post edit. So that is fire. That is dope. That's thinking outside the box. And that's incredible because, I mean, like you said, there's so many creators in different spaces, whether that's music, sports, whatever the case may be, who, like you said, they just don't have the resources, or maybe like, you know, they're in a point where they can't, you know, necessarily afford like, you know, a full-time actual, you know, human to be their brand marketing, you know, manager or whatever the case may be. So being able to have this access is incredible. That's incredible. I saw something on your page too. It was, I don't know if it's connected, but you and Ashton Kutcher has some type of AI situation going on. Is that connected or is this something else?
So it's not directly connected, but the interview was about AI that we had. I was actually working with a client, Dream Machine, and was helping them do content and doing some consulting for them. And that content series was a part of it. And I asked him like, yeah, did you know that they just launched the capability for ChatGPT to build out AI? And he was like, yeah, like that's crazy. I'm going to be doing it tonight. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I already got an idea. That's what I'm doing tonight too. Cause I was literally thinking about it. I'm like, could I do an Exalt GPT? This would be crazy. So we just had a little moment on the episode where we were like, we about to build these GPTs out. So yeah, that's how that came about.
It was like the Spider-Man meme. Y'all just pointing at each other like, you doing that too? I'm doing that. We both doing
that's
it.
What I'm on tonight. That's what I regret about that interview is that I didn't ask him, was I being punked when he told me he had an AI therapist? I'm like, fire. Look, that was a missed opportunity. I wish I would have thought about it, but I didn't.
Hey, but you know now. You know, you learn from it. That's all, you know what I mean? You got to go out there. You got to experience stuff. It's not going to be perfect. You learn from it. So next time you're in this position, boom, it's there.
Wish I would have thought about it, but yeah.
I love that. I love that. Man, okay, let's transition a little bit to another, sounds like a new passion of yours potentially, which is directing. So I saw that you actually co-directed a short film called Penny in the Sky.
Yes. Now,
based upon what I've saw, like, you produced and directed commercials and other forms of media, but this was your first short film, I believe, that you actually produced. What was that experience like for you, and what can you tell us more about it?
Yeah, so we actually have not filmed just yet. We've been in the crowdfunding phase and also just, you know, casting and table reads and all that stuff. Yeah. But so far, it's been like really, really fun. I've loved movies for a very long time, to the point where like I literally feel like super magical even when the previews are on. And I've always felt that. And I think that within like the past few years, I started getting like kind of curious about why I was, and even after I leave the movies, I wasn't conscious about it, but I started noticing like every time I leave the movies on the ride home, I'm praying. And I just feel like this, like, I don't know, it was a very strong charge. And then I said, well, that's interesting that you start going into prayer and talking to God every time you leave the movies. And I'm a very passionate person. So that behavior also doesn't surprise me, but I'm also like, okay, but this is a pattern. And so I remember like 2 years ago, I was like, I think that I'm supposed to play in that space at some point, but I also know I have a lot on my plate. So I was like, I'm not about to just go at that. And I haven't spent time, you know, sitting with this. So if it comes, it comes. And when it does, I'll know, but I'm not going to go force this thing out. Right. I'm like, maybe, you know, 10 years from now, I'll do it. And then I had my friend, Drew, who is a writer, reach out, and he sent me the script. I was on a plane, and I was just reading it for fun. And then I was crying on the plane, and I was like, this is so good. And so I'm just sending him back, like, you know, my feedback. And he was like, I was actually wondering if you would want to co-direct it with me. I was like, you want me to cry? Literally, I'm like, me? For real? So yeah, that's how that all came about. But it's been a really good process because there are some really great producers on our team. And I'm learning so much from them. I'm learning a lot from the actor and the actress that are our two main leads. So it's been a really good process so far. We're going to be shooting next month. So I'm expecting it to go great, but it's been a good process so far.
I love it. It's funny you mentioned that, you know, a couple years ago, like you said, you know, you were in the car finishing watching a movie or whatever, or it was happening ongoing, that you would just have this feeling. Even you talking about it right now, I don't know if you can see it, but I can see like a glow, like the way you smile and talk about it. Like, do you see this becoming maybe like your main passion down the road? Or like, I don't know. What do you see?
Who knows? Like, I think what I think I realized, because I feel like it was like, okay, it's still entertainment. So, okay, it's a thread.
Right.
But I think when I really started seeing it is when we had to do our, what is it called? I don't know the time for it, but it's when your director statement, you explaining why you wanted to do the project. And I realized, like, for me, movies have this beautiful capability of kind of transporting you to a space, into a feeling, into a thought process, into a mode. And I love that it's able to do that, because as a mindset coach and someone who really believes in the power of mindset and reprogramming your subconscious mind, one of the key tools you can use for that is visualization. And when you're able to activate more than one sense, so if you could get yourself to the point where you are seeing yourself at a place in life and you can almost taste what you're eating for breakfast that morning, you can feel the material of the cashmere on your skin, you can see clearly how, you know, your scenery looks, you know who you're talking to. If you can feel all of those things, you are so much more apt to like get aligned with that frequency. So when you're in the movies, you have all the sound and you have the visuals and the cinematography and the writing to make you feel something, that it can kind of transport you there. And so I would love to be able to use movies for good and transporting people to spaces that are going to help elevate them or help exalt them. So I feel like that thread would still be there. And I'm not sure if it'd be like a full-time thing. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm open. It just depends on the season. I think my purpose evolves as I do. So I wouldn't be surprised if it becomes a prominent part of my life. So, but I'm being very careful to make sure that I stay open to what that is supposed to be, because I think that with Exalt, I saw the vision very clearly, and I was young when I saw it. Yeah. So I was very like fiery and just want to go for it, and very much don't tell me what I can and cannot do, which is great. Yeah. I just think that like, as I became more like seasoned and got more wisdom, I started understanding that like time is on my side. I do not have to rush anything. I actually need more time. The longer I can stay in this game, the better. And so I'm at a much more at ease place with this. And I imagine that if I had gotten into this state of being at the beginning of my journey, I probably would have been even quote unquote further and more successful. And so I want to make sure that when it comes down to this.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Movie space that I'm at ease because I don't want to feel the unnecessary burden that I placed on myself when I originally started Exalt. I don't want to feel that with the movie space because I just trust like if I'm supposed to do it, it's going to happen. It's going to come to me. It's going to flow to me. And I don't really have to do anything other than be aligned and ready to receive when it comes.
Man, you just said so much that I want to like dive into. It's a couple of things. Okay, so one, before I lose track, you mentioned that you don't want to go back to that feeling you had when you were initially, when you're starting off, you know, making Exalt. Were you putting, do you feel like you were just putting unnecessary pressure on you because you had that fire behind it so young and you knew like mentally exactly what you wanted to do to the point where like when you weren't at that, I guess, the peak that you wanted to get to, you just felt like an internal stress or I don't know, I guess pressure to, like speed up the process, so to speak, or I guess to describe what that pressure was exactly.
Yeah, I definitely think it was a pressure because it was like I wasn't understanding that what God was downloading in me and showing me was not a tomorrow thing. It was like, no, baby girl, this vision is so large. You're not going to be able to do this within a year's time. I'm showing you the mountaintop. And what you need to be doing is saying, okay, thank you for this vision and direction. I will write that on my heart, but what is the next step? But instead for me, I'm like, okay, well, the next step is for the mountaintop.
You're trying to get to the top right now.
Immediately.
What are you preaching?
Immediately. And I honestly think I just cared way too much about it. I also think that like, I didn't know how to make it happen. I'm from Detroit and when God dropped the word talent management into my spirit, I didn't even know what that meant. I'm like, talent, what is talent? What do you mean talent management? Right. It didn't click. I'm like, I know about a talent show, right, you know, when you're in middle school, but I don't know what you're talking about. I literally did not understand. And it made me not feel confident in it in the beginning. I'm like, I'm seeing this agency. I'm like, okay, it's purpose driven and it's da 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 da. And I'm getting the vision of it, but I'm not understanding like how to actually go about it. So I think I was just stressed about it. And then as I started learning over time and then moved out to LA, it's like you're literally surrounded by all of these huge companies and you're seeing these possibilities. And then it's like the favor of my life has me in certain rooms with certain people. And I'm like, oh yeah, I could do this. And I'm believing in myself and I'm working on myself. So I was thinking that I was expecting it to come too quickly, to be quite frank. And I also think that within my move to LA, I think after like 9 months, things started getting more tight, and also the pandemic had hit. Yeah. And so I feel like I was in scarcity mode. And I really, truly believe that it is very hard to create something good when you are aligned with scarcity, when your state of being is in like, I need this, you know, I gotta have this, like, that's a whole nother ball game. But like being in scarcity, I think is very detrimental for people that create things and put them out into the world. And I think that that was a major factor in me feeling like, I really need to do this, you know, whether it was thinking about finances or, you know, not having the belief in myself that I really, truly could do it, not knowing how to articulate what it was that I was doing either, you know, being in a whole new space, coming to LA and being away from my entire family and my community. So I think it was a lot of factors at hand, but baseline, it was like, you need to get out of scarcity and you need to ease. You need to focus on getting aligned and you need to just chill out a little bit, babe. Like you got it. And for this game that I am in with entrepreneurship and then also just being in the entertainment industry, it's so relationship based. Yep. So many of the things that have occurred are just because it's like, I have a good rapport with someone and I had no idea that that person would connect me to this opportunity or be the person that brings this to me. But it just happened like that over time. And it's like, relationships take time. Even with the deals that I've negotiated, it's like, I'm glad I wasn't negotiating with Meta in 2019. I wouldn't have been equipped to do that.
Right.
But because I had built up and was starting to negotiate contracts very, very continuously, it's like, oh, okay, cool. I know what that term means. Oh, I should ask about this. Cause I remember I had a conversation with my homeboy and he told me X, Y, and Z about his client and da, 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 da. Like, I need the time. It helps to make your experience and approach so much richer and so much more depthful. And I don't think that I understood the value of that. So, yeah.
I feel like I'm looking in the mirror right now because a lot of what you said is either A, I've experienced it, or B, I'm experiencing it now, being in this creative space. You know, I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana, so not too far from you. Moved to LA about 6 years ago. You know, my 9 to 5 is Fox Sports as a social media producer. It's been about a year and a half on air. You know, pandemic happened, changed with the show happened. Still producer, but I'm not that on-air talent no more. I thought I had found my new passion, right? Being, you know, I love being in front of a camera. I love hosting, talking to, you know, storytelling with athletes and entertainers. But again, the shift happened and I feel like that I wasn't getting the same opportunities that I once had. And I kind of been in this weird, weird funk where it's like, God, it's like, okay, I know you brought me out here for a reason because LA was never part of my plan. I never in a million years said I'm going to LA. And I wasn't even focused on entertainment. I was a college football player. I got a business degree in marketing. But again, I was more so focused on the sales and business route. Through connections, through networking, was blessed with opportunity to come out here. And I just feel like I know it came from God just because, again, this had nothing to do with my plans, right? So now I'm in a space where I'm like, okay, I'm trying to like figure out, I guess the what the mountaintop is, so to speak. Well, like, well, what's the end all be all? And either A, God has given me the answer and maybe I'm not putting myself in position to fully see that, or B, he hasn't given it to me yet and maybe I'm being tested to continue to work at me. So like, I'm just kind of in that weird phase where it's like, you know, patience is a key thing that I'm trying to work on. But then at the same time, I'm like, man, is it patience or am I not fully focused right now listening? Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
It makes so much sense. If I had to pick between your A and your B, I would say A. I think truthfully, from young ages, we know what we were brought here to do in this vessel. And I think that conditioning from, it could be from parents, from society, from TV shows, things begin to get worked out of us. The schooling system, things get worked out, pushed out. We start to disconnect from our body. We disconnect from our childlike faith. I mean, we put all types of filth in our body, be it content, food, conversation, and we get disconnected. And so I think truthfully, when that answer does, when you do remember that answer and what you're supposed to be doing, it's not going to be something where you'll be like, wow, this feels like I would have never, ever, ever, ever been here before. It's going to be like, this feels absolutely right. It seemed crazy, but it feels like right. Like, you're not going to be like, wow, I didn't know that I was supposed to be a blanket maker. Like, and it's so far-fetched from what you've been leaning into. The desires of your heart have been intentionally placed. I'll say that I think that there might be opportunity for you to do a little bit of inner work. And I think that part right there is what gets us. It's like, okay, well, you went to, am I not focused enough? Right. You know? And it's like, that's an external thing. That's what we say when we like, okay, maybe I'm not putting in enough work. You know, maybe I'm not, you know, networking enough. We're doing this, that, and a third. I think you just might need to spend some more time with yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that the answer is within you. Nobody outside of you, no amount of work you can do is going to be able to tell you about you. The only work that can do that is the work you do with yourself. So I think that if you spent intentional time, I promise you, if you just did like 10 minutes a day and you ask yourself and you ask the God in you, hey, I know that I am connected to the source of all things that created everything, that knows today and tomorrow and all that has happened and all that is already done. So what do I need to hear? What do I need? And just get in the habit of, what is it that I need to hear right now in this season? I know, because, and then we sometimes get stuck on, well, God told me this. Okay, that's what God said. What is God saying right now? Because that could be 1,000% true. But who do you have to evolve into in this season in order for things to fall into fruition? So I think that you just have an incredible opportunity to connect with yourself on a deeper level, because that answer is in you, yeah, 1,000%. And you don't have to work harder in order for God to all of a sudden be kind enough to tell you what he's trying to do through you. Like,
it's funny you mentioned that. It's like we've been knowing each other for years, because that's always been my mindset, that like, if I just work harder, it's going to happen. Because a lot of my life, you know, that has got me far. You know what I'm saying? I got one football. I was the undersized, overlooked guy when it came to football sports. And I earned one scholarship, and that's all I needed. And I got my full ride. Boom. I was the guy, you know, I'm the first one from my family to go to college. I've kind of put this, I guess, pressure, I would say, even on myself to like carry this baton as far as I possibly can, whatever that might be, and be able to hand it back to, you know, my little sister, my little cousins, to be able to like try to get our, you know, break the family curse. You hear that term a lot, right? But it's like, I want to be the guy, to be the person that, you know, really played a big role in, like, not just my individual life, but the direction of the Smiths, my family. And I think that God, I don't know, I've always felt, like you said, as a kid, I always felt like I was different, not better, just different. You know, even though I was in an environment of poverty and, you know, getting kicked out of our home for whatever reason, something inside of me said that I could be more. And to this point, I have been more, but then I get to a point where, like, I feel like stagnant almost. And that makes me feel nervous a little bit, because you have that fear of like going back, but also kind of excited, because in the past, when I felt like this, another door opened up at some point. You just don't know when. So it's like, I don't know. That's why I describe it as like this weird feeling. But, yeah, you know, my past events and past blessings is what kind of keeps me like, you know what, you're going to be all right, because you felt this before in another season. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Track, what you just said, track records are key. I actually was talking to a client today who wasn't feeling the best. And I'm like, go write down 10 things that happened that seem serendipitous, that seem divine, because you need to remind yourself of the favor of God on your life right now, because those thoughts need to outweigh what reality is appearing to be. So to the point, your point, track records are key. And also, I'll say, I think that like as we age, as we get more wisdom and experience, it's like, it reminds me of the saying of like, what got you here is not going to be what gets you there. And so again, there is opportunity. It's like, you're going to have to go deeper within yourself in order for this next door to come. It's like the doors that have continued to open when you were in these spaces, I think the next door is going to open for you for sure. I just think that you must be a certain person for that to open. And it's not necessarily like, oh, you gotta work harder, you gotta submit these many things and shoot these many emails. Of course, faith without works is dead. You're gonna have to do your due diligence. You don't get a cookie for doing your due diligence, but you're going to have to also evolve. So I think that there's opportunity for you to lean more into purpose, lean more into like the inner world and the inner workings of you, and just starting to get curious. And I promise you, if you do, that answer will come. But if you don't give thought and time and attention to it in a calm place of like, okay, I'm curious to see what my spirit will show me today. And it could be that it says, I actually just need you to be quiet for the next 30 days and come talk to me. Yep. It could be that they give you you'll see a visual of someone's face and you just call and you check up on them and you might get inspired or get a little golden nugget. It could be that you need to take a different path home so that your brand can be exposed to new. And then maybe you see a billboard that, you know, lights you up or something like that. But just getting in the practice of accessing that inner power from within is going to help you in a multitude of ways, let alone the way in which you're talking about of like wanting to get from out of the place of stagnancy, wanting to know what the mountain is, wanting to know, okay, what is the thing that, you know, I should be aiming towards right now? That's already inside of me.
Yeah, this is some powerful stuff right here. And I'm not gonna lie, I did not plan a lot of what we're talking about. It just kind of happened. And a lot of times, you know, these things happen on the port. That's why I love, you know, just having these guests like yourself on here, because you just never know where the conversation is going to lead. One more thing before we go to transition to a new segment. You mentioned during the pandemic, you felt a feeling of, what was the term you used? Not stagnant. You were
scarcity.
Scarcity. There you go. Scarcity mindset. How did you get out of that?
Okay. You know, that was probably one of the hardest mindset shifts that I've had to carry myself through, because it didn't start just because of how expensive LA is. When you're in scarcity, most of the time it is you have an energetic cord connection to someone else. So, you know, my dad grew up decently, you know, okay with money. My mom, not so much. Was eating like Spam for dinner type time, you know? So I think that, and then I think it just in general with being Black and what we hear all the time, even small things, like you got McDonald's money. I'm sorry, McDonald's, especially back then, this whole meal was $4. Right. What are you saying to a child when you're like, do you have McDonald's money? And it's $4. Now I'm thinking if it's $10, my God, like I definitely can't afford that. But you're telling your kid, we can't afford this. We are not in a position to have these things constantly. You're seeing so many things about yourself in the media, all of these things. They're very deeply rooted from family ties to societal ties to what we see about ourselves on TV. Like it was just a lot of different things. And I didn't understand that. I didn't get it until I continued on my path and developing personally and understanding mindset and understanding like how limiting beliefs get planted within our subconscious mind and how they will stay there unless you actively dig them up. I thank neuro-linguistic programming a lot for that. That has informed my practice and my teaching so much. But I remember a very pivotal moment, and I have a group coaching program called From Scarcity to Abundance. And I always tell them this story in it and how at this point I wasn't even really struggling too heavy or anything at all, actually. And I remember just feeling so like, I don't know what's happening and life is just so hard and blah, 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 blah. And I felt led to go. No, actually it wasn't a feeling led type thing. I actually didn't want to go at all. I was able to get outside on my balcony and my best friend was like, you really need to go be in the sun, because my friends know, like, if I can get in the sun, start thinking a little bit better. Yeah. And I'm just a big sun girl. And, I was like, no, I'm not going to go. The most I can do is be on this balcony to just super sad girl. Yeah. And she's like, no, like, I really think you should go. And so I reluctantly go to the Beverly Garden Trail. In Beverly Hills. And as I'm walking and complaining to God about like just not being where I want to be, or if you, again, that expectation that I should be further and, you know, that I'm in my own way, which I was, but I digress. And I'm saying all these things. And then this loud Lamborghini passes me and it interrupts my little complaining rant, yep. But it wakes me up. Like, because I see this Lamborghini, then I look and I see all these other cars passing by and Ferraris and all types of cars. And then I started laughing because I felt God say, oh, look at you, poor you, just walking in Beverly Hills, surrounded by all types of money, beautiful scenery. Woe to you. Woe to you who is after you take this walk, you're about to go get some food that you can afford and get in your car, and you're going to go sit in your balcony and look at the skyline. Woe to you. Mm. And so I just started like laughing and I'm like, dang, like you are really, truly blessed. And you were just focused on everything that you wanted. And that's when I realized like, there is a danger in always focusing on what we want, because when you focus on what you want, that is also you focusing on what you don't have. Mm. So every day that I'm waking up and I'm saying, I want this, I want this, I want that, I'm also saying, I am without this, I am without that, I am without this. Like, just, it's like, imagine going in the mirror and affirming yourself and saying, I am without money, I am without happiness. Like, that would be crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy to do, but it's like you're low-key doing that, because every day that you're professing that you want something and you have this deep need for it and you're unhappy about it, you're doing the same thing and you're stuck in a perpetual state of ungratefulness. So I remember that, and I remember coming home and I cut on this movie, and I don't even remember what it was, but it basically was a scene in the movie that was saying the same exact thing that I had just heard in that download. And I was like, okay, heard you, God. Like, I know for a fact I need to stay in this. And that signals to me, I need you to go into a session with yourself. I need you to labor with yourself, emotionally labor with yourself, spiritually labor with yourself. And I stayed up for hours until I was able to like kind of pull myself from out of that state and really started getting to work on scarcity, and started reading books on it and diving a little bit deeper into my limiting beliefs on it. Cause it was clear, like, okay, you have to do some intentional work. So that was really like the catapulting point where I started like breaking from out of my current state of thinking on it. But it took a lot of intentional practice. I could say that for sure.
Wow. That was, I'm almost speechless right now. That was amazing just hearing that, man. And it's crazy how, like, any question I ask you,
mm-hmm.
you have a specific, like, you remember the moment, the time, the sound, the car that drove by, the movie. Like, it just, man, I can just tell that you have spent a lot of that time with yourself. And that's something that, like, me just listening now, I'm like, man, I really, that's something that I need to do more of, you know what I'm saying? Spend less time, you know, complain, especially, you know, as a man, as a Black man too. I just feel like, you know, I don't know, I just naturally, because of just the society and how we, you know, the things we've been taught,
mm-hmm.
just naturally put this, like you said, this these certain thoughts and pressure and things, you know, in our head. And so, you know, if I'm not bringing home the dollar amount that I feel like I should be, or if I'm not, you know, if I'm lacking in this area, whatever the area might be, you
yep.
like, I, oftentimes I speak for myself, I know a lot of people can relate, you kind of like, you feel down on yourself, and then like that becomes like a daily thing, and
yeah,
all that stacks up. So now for all our yeah. listeners, I think, man, like, really, you know, you heard one thing from this, you know, spend that time with yourself and speak life into yourself, because, you know, the power of the tongue is real. And, you know, power of your thoughts and the mind is something that's real as well. So,
so real.
Yeah.
It's so real. And I extend so much, care and thought to you in particular as a Black man. I think because you guys have been trained since birth, you are provider, you are protector, which I think is definitely for sure a great representation of what it means to be in your divine masculine, 1,000%. I also think that they say that and don't really teach you what that means at like an energetic and spiritual level. And then it literally only gets left down to money. And so then the mind goes to, I must have money. I must get money some way at all costs. You're not thinking about, okay, I must get money in a way that actually aligns with my purpose. I must get money in a way that does not deplete me. I must get money in a way that fulfills me. Mm. You didn't think about none of that. You're just thinking, I must get money because I'm a provider. And if I don't do it, that means I'm less of a man. Ooh. So I have so much I have a lot of care and thought to that, which is why I think it is especially important for men to make sure that they are spending that time. It's important for both men and women,
right.
But I think that you would find yourself propelled if you spend more time with yourself, for sure.
Sure. And you mentioned even earlier, like we put so much just poison, you know, inside our minds, you know, social media being one. And, you know, you see all these things about how much money do a man got to make to take you there. I can't go to the Cheesecake Factory. I can't. I'm like, Cheesecake Factory. Like, damn, that was a come up. But like, you know, but like those things, we laugh at them. But I do think subconsciously they do go into your mind and you ain't making six figures. You broke, you this, you that. And not you're 100% right. That's definitely been a mindset. So transition a little less on the deep side a little bit. I want people to learn a little bit more about, you know, who Alexis is. Like when you're not, you know, working, when you're not grinding, when you're not necessarily, you know, when you're just kind of just chilling, just, you know, living your life. Like, what do you like to do? I saw you had a birthday recently. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
What's the turn up like? Like what's a fun time for Miss Wilson? And this is the porch, so you can keep it real.
I am, but I think it's so funny because you're like, we're not gonna get deep. I'm like, listen, that's just in me. So
right.
I do like to have fun, but like, to be very honest, this mindset thing is woven into the fabric of who I am. Like, that's what I like to do for fun. Before I started the business, I was for fun reading philosophy, studying the brain, listening to Napoleon Hill, Earl Nightingale, Wattis D. Wallows, like Florence Scovelshin. That was my jam. It still is my jam. Mm. Books is what I like to do for fun. You also see I have an Iron Man helmet. I'm a huge Marvel fan, really a Marvel stan. so I love Marvel. I love going to the movies. Put me in the sun, I'm a happy camper. Going to the beach, I love, love, love traveling. And I love being around my friends and family. Like, that is one of my core values. And you mentioned the birthday party. What it was a rooftop paint party that I had on my rooftop. And it was called The Canvas of Our Lives. And it was very intentional and it was very mindful. I wanted us to have a good old time, but I also, my birthdays are always very special times for me because it's the one time that I get everybody to do mindful things with me and they don't say nothing about it. But I always want to make it fun because there is something that feels so good about everyone being on the same frequency of like intention and purpose and passion. Oh, bathe me in that. And please, immediately. So I always try and cultivate an environment that will get people thinking about that thing, get people on that wavelength. So for the Canvas of Our Lives party, we had like quotes and things like that that inspired you to like create the life that you wanted to, essentially. And everyone would pick up a canvas, and on the back of the canvas there was a number, and then there was a corresponding number that had a prompt. So I prayed beforehand saying like, I hope that everyone gets the prompt that they're supposed to have. So one prompt was something like, paint something that is your vision for your life for the next 5 years or something like that. And then everyone got matching affirmation cards that like would affirm like, you know, the vision is clear. I'm so thankful that everything I see is so. So everybody had these matching affirmations on the way out the door, and then they went and painted, and we just had a good old time. So it was fun still, but also still had like that mindfulness in it. I feel like that's my vibe. Love doing that. And I love, and I'm so glad I'm turning into this person. I think I'm officially a gym rat now. Ooh, I think so.
Okay.
Cause I have to work out. Like, I have to exercise. I have to move my body. I love going hiking. I love going to the gym. I love alchemizing my body. It's like, that was probably one of my harder challenges, was like my physical health. Like, I could do a lot of spiritual work and, you know, emotional work and mental work. And then I remember God was just like, okay, but that body though, like, you're going to need to utilize your spiritual, you know, tenacity and wisdom to apply it to the temple, because you're not honoring your body like the temple that it is. And you could hear from me clearly, or more clear if you were. So go get that together, watch what you're eating, and go work out your body. So that has taken a very long time. A very, very long time for me to actually like evolve into, but I actually love it now. Like, anything that is promoting my health and well-being, I really, really like it. So that's really what I do for fun.
You yeah. are dope. Can I tell you that? You are like, I know there's nobody's perfect. So obviously, but you're like, you locked in. I'm going to say that. Like, you like on every, the physical, the mental, the like, I'm like, man,
I'm trying.
And you're not, and you ain't got, it's disrespectful to ask a woman's age, but I think I just turned 30 in January. I think I'm older than you. So I'm looking at somebody who I think might be younger than me, but you inspiring me right now. It's like, I just think that's powerful. That's powerful.
I'm 29. I don't take it disrespectful. I think it's a blessing to be able to age and grow old. And I'm going to actually make a very conscious effort as a woman to never get too freaked out on that.
I agree with you 100%. Again, that's one of those things just mentally, you know, when you're growing up, it's like, don't ask a woman her age. So I'm still locked in. Like, I can never.
I get it. I totally get it.
Yes, man. One thing you mentioned, one more question before I go to our quick hitters, but you talked about like putting the right food into your body, eating right. Another thing I noticed going on your page and looking at some of your content, you sometimes will post, you know, videos about just eating right. And you had something, I think, where you, it was like a content series where you went to your parents' house and like went through their fridge to kind of like show what they shouldn't be eating or what they should be eating. I guess, are you on a particular diet, like something specific? Are you vegan? Are you just kind of, it's more so just watching what you eat, being mindful of what you eat?
Yeah, I'm just conscious of the food that I eat. I have been healing from PCOS and hemiplegic migraines for over a decade now. PCOS is polycystic ovarian syndrome. It's a chronic and metabolic disorder. And then hemiplegic migraines, this sounds very dramatic because it is. Think about getting like a very intense migraine with symptoms of a stroke. Ooh. It's like, it's crazy. I used to have them monthly, would be going to the hospital. And now it's like, when is the last time I've had an episode? I haven't been to the hospital for hemiplegic migraine in years at this point. So healing is definitely real. So the inspiration behind me leaning into this life of health and wellness was beyond, oh, I gotta be this disciplined. It was literally like, no, like I can't keep going to the hospital. If this is impacting my quality of life, even with the PCOS, it's like when my cycle would come, I'm like blacking out and getting rushed to the hospital. It was just too much. So that's why I am conscious about the food that I eat. It's not to the point where it's like, I have to be vegan. I have been vegan for a period of time, but I also like work with like natural doctors and holistic doctors. And when I got like my blood and all of that tested, it was like, no, actually like meat does good with your body in particular. It's just that you need to eat this kind or eat grass fed or whatever. So just learning about what my body in particular responds well to, and also like being in tune enough with myself to know like if I actually want something or if it's just like, oh, this is my flesh, it's a craving, or if my body's like, no, I don't need that. Like as of late, I have been really, I don't know, I can just feel my body rejecting like chicken right now. So I just haven't been eating it, not because I think chicken is bad, but because my body is like, I don't want that in me right now. Mm. So, all right, well, we just lay off of it. We'll have it in moderation.
Man, I will say this. I am a foodie. I can be better on you know, what I'm eating. I kind of go back and forth a little bit. I have my little healthy phases and I kind of go back. Chicken is one thing that my body has not rejected yet. But
well, hey, bask in that. For real, bask in
it. It's accepted that, I think, at this point.
Love and acceptance.
I love it. I got a couple quick hitters for you, and then I'll let you go. Thank you so much for taking the time and spending this time here with me on the porch. Staying on the food topics, since we already talking about it. Okay. Favorite place to eat at in LA? And I'll put you on the spot.
You said a quick hitter, so I'm trying not to think a long time about this. Dang. What immediately came to my mind was Katana. But I feel like I know that it's somewhere else that I've been in. I'm like, I really, really like this place. Am I going to say the name right? I think it's Mason Kasai.
Oh, I haven't been there, but I know what you're talking. Is it good? Ooh, I gotta add it to the list.
Yeah, it's very, very good. Mason Kasai. I think that's the name of the place. But I feel like LA in general just has good food,
It's
good
so many
and
options.
beautiful, beautiful places to go.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Okay. That's beautiful right there. Okay, let's go to a next one. What is your favorite thing about Detroit?
My favorite thing about Detroit.
Yeah, look at you smiling. Look, I ain't, you didn't even say nothing yet. So I'm a married man. My wife is actually from Detroit. She moved from Detroit to Indianapolis. So like when she's like 14. So we're high school sweethearts.
Oh,
So I know a little bit about Detroit, from visiting the family, 7 Mile, Better Mile, the Blade. I saw you in your video doing your thing.
okay. Yep.
Yeah, so I know a little bit about it.
I think it's just gonna have to be like the people, like
Yes.
the people in Detroit. I mean, there's like different, sectors of us. But it's so much culture. Like it's blackety black black, and
Yes.
it's the thing that I miss here in LA. It's like the community. I don't see no old people. I don't see no babies out here. I just see a bunch of us, our age pursuing things, which is great. It's like, where are the old ladies? Where are the babies? Like where? Like I, that's what I need. And so it's just like a lot of love. Like when you are around people that love you, when you are around people that feel like family. It's just so good. And I love our people. I think that's what it would be that in our culture and our influence on culture.
That's a fact. That's a fact. Shout out to the D, man. Two more for you. Okay, the next one. What are your favorite qualities about a black man?
My favorite qualities about a black man.
Yes.
Well, I think there's all types of black men. About the black man that comes to mind for me is like the I love black men who have a reverence for the woman, where there is this natural inclination to protect, to respect, to uphold. I appreciate that a lot. I have a lot of my male friends, I feel so safe around them. I feel well respected around them, well protected around them. And they take pride in the fact that they are that for me and for every woman that is in their life. So I love when that natural inclination of like, I love black women. I support black women. I will protect them because that is my duty as a black man. That makes me feel like just proud, like I love you so much. Thank you so much. And then I would also just say, like, it really makes my heart super happy when I see black men who are just, what's the word I'm looking for? They are making it their business to rise above what they've taught that they could do or they shouldn't do. Like, whether it's, okay, well, I am going to be this kind of lawyer, or I am going to, pursue this field in entertainment or whatever the thing is, or I am going to be a comprehensive man who is actually emotionally stable and can do all the other manly, masculine things as well. Like I love seeing that. And then also it's just like, I mean, black men, like y'all are black men. Like, what do we say beyond that? Like
Yeah, you said it.
y'all got it.
I appreciate that. And you already know, Sister Queen, y'all got it as well, man. That's why we just a little different. I ain't trying to be cocky. I just feel like we all. I just think we just build a little.
Y'all are different. I mean the swag, the skin, like the presence, the richness of y'all. It's just like, I mean, that's a black man. Like
Walk
that's
is different. Like for real. You ever sit back? Like, our people watch sometimes. You ever just sit back and just see, like, we just walk
a
different in
thousand
person.
percent the energy, the aura, the presence. It's like that is a black man. Like you just know it when you see it. So yeah. Y'all got it.
Appreciate that. Okay. Last one. Last final one. In 5 years, Alexis Wilson will be blank. It's a fill in the blank. And I can only imagine what's coming to your mind. Knowing how this conversation has went, I'm excited to just hear what you're gonna say.
Alexis Wilson will be
Take your time. Take your time.
well, she will be basking in the blessing of having created a life where it's literally just, I'm just waking up today with a yes to God, like, what is the thing I'm going to create and put out into the world today? She will be so, just so developed inwardly that everything outside of her just works. I mean, more abundant financially, traveling. I see myself speaking. My books will be out by then as well. It's going to be like, I'm just seeing me, but with more wisdom. So I'm like, ooh, that's what I'm saying. For me, it's like with age, I'm like, I'm so excited about aging, because if it's who I am now, but with more wisdom, oh, sign me up. Sign me up. More wisdom, more patience. And I just see myself being in a place of ease, but just more, even more money, even more experiences, even more travel, being able to impact and reach more people. And that'll look like books, me speaking more. I used to speak a lot before the pandemic, and then I just never really got all the way back into it, but I want to pick up on that. And I see Exalt in a place where it's like, it's really truly able to function without me, because I think that that is my signal of like, okay, I have built something that is truly sustainable when it's not completely reliant upon me. Or if I step away for 2 weeks, stuff is still smooth, you know? So that's where I expect to be in at ease with my husband and my kids. Like, yeah.
Well, listen, you just spoke it. It's in the air. Oh, so it's pretty much already done. So
I see it. I already saw it. It's already done. Time. We have to wait for that date to come.
Yes, we are. We just waiting right now. That's all we doing. So, man, this has been a beautiful conversation. I truly do appreciate, you know, you coming on this show. I hope that we can meet in person. I feel like I need to find a way to get into your circle, because this energy right here is just like, I feel better now than I did an hour ago. And I'm not just saying, this is real. I truly feel better right now than I did an hour ago. So you are blessed with something. Like, I don't know. You got something. And I appreciate you. And is there anything I can ever support with on anything, entertainment, production, whatever, kind of in a similar field. So let me know if there's a connection I can make, you know, with athletes or whatever, let me know.
For sure.
Let the people know too, where they can find you online, or if there's anything you want to promote, where people, you know, may want to work with you. This is your time to kind of to do that.
Yeah. So, I'm Lexalt on Instagram and on TikTok, LEXALT. My TikTok just has an underscore in front of it. And, right now, if you guys want to tap in with me for mindset coaching, you could go to the link in my bio. We actually just launched a 12-week accelerator program specifically for artists and creators and public figures that are navigating the spotlight and understand, like, you got to cultivate your mindset if you want to be able to sustain those high levels of success, and you want to make sure that you have that holistic approach to your development. It's a really, really, really good program, and we're going to make sure that your inner world is in perfect harmony with your public persona. So that's what's happening right now. Applications for that close July 12th. So it's only 5 slots available. So tap in with me for that. And yeah.
Here it is, y'all. I heard what she said. Tap in if you're trying to grow and get better. And remember, man, listen, we appreciate all the love and the supporters that we have here on the porch. If you haven't subscribed yet, hit the subscribe button. You know, we're on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen. And obviously, you can follow us at The Porch Podcast on YouTube. Prayers up again for my guy Bolo, man. He will be back next week. And guys, man, always remember that the best you is the best you. And we out. Peace.
Detaching the ones who keep acting attached to leech. I am no pastor, but actually preaching. Look up these letters and actually reach. That was where all began. Had to put in work every day. We got it in. We chased all our dreams, and now they can't believe it. We make it look easy.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.